Craig Forrest is our Premier League analyst on Sportsnet. We're very pleased to be joined by Craig Forrest. Well, Craig, it's another season, and as I said, we'll all get to see how Arsene Wenger screws this up.
Well, they've already won a trophy, Jeff.
Well, that doesn't count. I mean, what define trophy?
Yeah, I know. They throw the charity shield in there, eh? But, I mean, that might be it by the end of the year. I mean, Arsenal haven't made a ton of changes. They got Lacazette coming in, obviously, but they got some issues there. The Wenger signed a two-year contract. I guess that's a good thing for some not so much. And they've still got those issues with those three big players, Sanchez, Ozil, and Oxlade-Chamberlain, who are coming into the last year of the contract. And if they get far into this last year, they're going to get zero for them because they'll walk on a free transfer next year. And I can't believe that this club hasn't got that sorted out well before this stage.
You know, there's a lot to talk about with you, but you mentioned Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, and I want to go there first. Craig, what is he? When you see him, what do you see? Because I, for the life of me, There are a lot of clubs, not just in England. There are a lot of clubs around the world where he could play a significant role. Certainly larger, I think, than Arsene Wenger seems to want to give him.
Yeah, I mean that's true. I mean that's a good question. What do you get from Oxlade-Chamberlain? I mean, obviously he has a ton of pace. He's an exciting player. He can get at defenses, and somebody with that type of talent is certainly going to garnish a lot of attention from clubs anywhere, and including Arsenal, as he's been brought up through that system. For several years, but it's just the fact, I think, from Arsenal's point of view, is just how they've been really sort of managed over the last few years. And I'm a fan of Arsene Wenger, and I'm a fan of Arsenal Football Club, how they run their club, but if they're going to compete for titles and challenging for Champions League places on a regular basis, this is the first time, I think, in 20 years they're not going to be playing in Champions League, which is obviously maybe a little bit of a bonus for them as far as trying to get where they want to be in the Premier League position. But they're not doing enough for me to challenge the Man Cities and the Manchester Uniteds and the Chelseas of this world that are trying to really go for it. And it's hard to compete because they're spending an awful lot of money. But at least manage your club properly. And I don't think they've done that over the last few years very well.
Now, there was a little bit of news made today. I guess this qualifies as news in that Danny Rose, I guess 48 hours after a fairly lengthy interview in The Sun, in which he essentially suggested he didn't think Spurs had done enough to keep him happy, and essentially invited any team north, particularly team in Manchester, to take a look at him. He has since apologized, said his some of his thoughts were ill-conceived. Mauricio Pochettino has said, that's fine, we've got a match to prepare for, yada, yada. Is that the end of it? Or, the one thing we know about Jose Mourinho, when he's, if he's got a hook in your mouth, he does like to reel you in, or at least try to reel you in. And I think he's got to be thinking that Danny Rose has to be a target for him.
Yeah, I mean, Spurs is an interesting one over the summer, especially, how well they've done over the last couple of years with Mauricio Pochettino. And holding on to players and what they're going to do to strengthen and how they're going to make that move forward. I mean, they're still a very young side. They've kept a hold of the majority of their team, but there's always this hanging over them when a player or two then starts looking elsewhere and starts rocking the boats. And this is what we're seeing at Spurs, a little bit of leaking from the dressing room of some unhappy players, maybe, that they're not strengthening and they're not going to be quite good enough because they're not competing with the other teams in the headlines over the summer with all the signings they've had. So it's not surprising that this is happening to Spurs. And if they're going to play with the big boys at the top, they're going to have to get used to this type of thing and have to play the game, or otherwise they'll end up finishing, fourth, fifth, sixth in the Premier League.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting season for Spurs, isn't it? I mean, they advanced last year. They pushed hard. Look, there's no doubt that they've got some intriguing talent, especially up front, and they've got a manager who really seems to have a handle on what he has to do. But it's a transition period in some ways as well, with the stadium and all manner of issues for this team, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good call on the stadium because, you see teams moving out of their homes is not an easy situation to do.
No, look at West Ham last year.
I was going to say West Ham, my old club, moving from Upton Park into that giant Olympic Stadium, which is still doesn't have the feel of home to it, and it'll never be Upton Park, and the fans will have to get used to that because the bulldozers have already taken that down. So it's getting used to it, and I think the timing for Spurs moving into the new stadium or moving away and moving into Wembley, where they didn't do particularly well in the Champions League playing in that stadium last year, it's going to be like playing away from home, and a lot of the other teams coming into the stadium aren't going to never even played there, so they're going to be excited and pumped about playing in Wembley. So I think it's going to be a difficult season for Spurs, a very challenging one for them as well. And financially, they have to be very, very careful because of what they've spent on the stadium. And overall, manage incredibly well. But can they challenge for the top of the table? I certainly hope so, but it's going to be very difficult for them.
In conversation with Craig Forrest on the Jeff Blair Show, you talked a little bit or mentioned Chelsea, the defending champions. It's funny. I was when I was coming in this morning, I was listening to our friends on Talk Sport, and they were breaking down the upcoming season, and I can't remember. I don't know if it was Mickey Quinn. I don't remember who it was, or Jim White, but they were already talking about Antonio Conte being unhappy at Chelsea, and rumblings that there are issues between him and Roman Abramovich, and that he's not happy with the work they've done in the offseason. We know they've lost Nemanja Matic. Has Chelsea done enough in your mind to take another run at this, or do you still need to see them make a couple of moves before the window closes?
Yeah, I think they need to make a couple more moves, to be honest, Jeff. This is going to be a big season for them in a way that it's going to be busy. Last year, they didn't have the Champions League or any European football to deal with. It was just concentrate on getting it right, which Conte did very early in the season. If you remember when he played Arsenal, he made that change to back to three at the back, which is his preferred sort of system. And it went really well. But he only had to use 13, 14 players all season. So Champions League is a different animal. He's going to need some more. I don't understand the matches selling him to Manchester United. I know he's 29 and they got a lot of money for him, but you're selling him to a rival who's trying to catch you. And he certainly is a good player for the next few years, and I think he's a great signing by Manchester United. And I don't think Conte was all that happy with losing him, especially to a rival at the very, very top. And also, Lukaku looks as though he might have been coming back to Chelsea, and he didn't, as Manchester United nipped him at the post to pick up him. So I think we will see a couple more signings before the end of the month by Chelsea, because they're going to need it. They need a little bit more depth going into Champions League and European football with Diego Costa looking like he's gone, and Morata coming in, of course, is great, but is he better than Diego Costa? I'm not sure.
Is this Man U team closer to a Jose Mourinho team than last year's?
Yes, I believe they are, yeah. I mean, he did it quite well last year when you think about what he won. A couple trophies, won the Europa League, which is no easy task. They got him back into Champions League, so they've got to deal with that now this year as well. But they've strengthened. I think Lukaku's been getting better every single year. It's a huge price tag that they paid for him from Everton, but he will score your goals. I think we'll see more of Pogba. He'll be better. Marcus Rashford's getting a little bit older, a little bit more mature. We'll see him even better. Mkhitaryan will play a bigger part. So they're going to challenge her at the very top. It would not surprise me if Manchester United won the league. But it's still a long way to go in the transfer window, and a lot of money to be spent and a lot of players to be moving places still.
Craig, is there any team outside kind of that, the Man City, Man U, Chelsea, Tottenham? I'm going to throw Liverpool, and I'll throw Arsenal in there as well. But out of that group, that may surprise us this year. Could Everton be the team that kind of quietly sneaks in there?
Yeah, they could. I mean, obviously, losing Lukaku is a huge thing. They wanted to try to keep a hold of him, and if they're going to sort of look to be the big club in the game, they needed to hold on to him, which they did. Now, they bring Wayne Rooney across. I mean, how much is Wayne Rooney going to offer Everton Football Club other than selling some jerseys and kind of a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling coming home? I'm not sure about that. He will bring some experience in the dressing room, which will be very good. They've spent a lot of the money they got for Lukaku, so they have a good manager, and I think they feel that they can challenge for the top six. I'm not sure if they could do any better than that, but they certainly can challenge. And then obviously you look at Liverpool and you're kind of wondering what's going to happen with them. They brought in Salah, which is a Robertson, Solanke. They brought in a couple of decent players, but there's an inkling that Coutinho could leave, and he's put a transfer request in today after the club said he wasn't for sale. If they lose Coutinho, they're in big trouble. I mean, they're not going to win the league without keeping hold of those types of players. And we've seen this happen with Liverpool not that long ago with Luis Suarez. So it's kind of a sad situation for them, but I hope they can do well. They have a good manager, that's one thing.
Yeah, we'll have Watford and Liverpool at 7 a.m. on Sportsnet Ontario. And you're right, because if Liverpool does, if they can somehow keep Philippe Coutinho around with Firmino and Wijnaldum, I mean, it's a lot. There's a lot of talent there. Like they'll be fun to watch regardless. But if they can keep Coutinho, they'll be a handful for anybody.
Yes, exactly. But that's a big if.
Right.
He's now put that transfer request in, so it's kind of a hold on to your hats for Liverpool fans at the moment.
And either of the three new boys interest you at all? I mean, there seems to be a lot of talk about Huddersfield. I think a lot of people are kind of intrigued with the coach and see how he works out. But of the three promoted clubs, is there anyone in particular that kind of has caught your eye?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, nice to see Brighton, a new face in there, Huddersfield as well, Newcastle, an old face, but they got themselves right back in there under Benitez in the first year, which is important when you get relegated. You have a couple of good cracks at getting back in the Premier League, and then you can just fall into the trap that many of the other clubs that have been in the Premier League are into. So well done to Newcastle for doing that. They're a massive club, of course. We know that their goal will be just staying in the Premier League. So well that we were Brighton and Huddersfield, who have spent a little bit of money, but changing your team around a lot too and trying to compete in the Premier League is a really difficult task. And I fear for Brighton and Huddersfield as far as where they're going to be. They'll be right at the bottom battling to try and stay in the Premier League, which will be exciting, but it's tough. I've been in that position for a club coming into the Premier League, and it's important to get off to a good start. If you don't, you're pretty much doomed to be relegated, but if you can get off to a good start, it can get some points in before Christmas, you can hold on and try to scrap and stay in the Premier League. But it'll be exciting for those two new clubs, and the fans will enjoy the ride. But I don't expect too many big things from them other than struggling at the bottom.
Is Bournemouth the template for a new club or a club that is promoted? Is that how you go about staying up?
Well, yeah. I mean, you're rolling the dice a little bit, and some of it when you're bringing in new players is a certain amount of risk because you're bringing in players that maybe other clubs don't want, and you're trying to make them work. You're looking for certainly talent at a discount price, and you're looking for quality, and you're looking for some experience. Like Asmir Begovic, the Canadian that's been signed there as goalkeeper. It's nice to see that he wants to play first team football because he was never going to get that at Chelsea after moving from Stoke City. So you're getting a good goalkeeper. Premier League price is not a bad cost. Great character players, similar to the style when you look at Burnley and what they're doing there. They haven't got a ton of money to spend, but they do massive background checks on players and what they're going to do. And you need individuals that are willing to go through brick walls for you and be very professional about what they do if you have any chance of staying up. And I think that's what we're seeing at clubs like Bournemouth and Burnley. Well-managed, but you're always playing with fire a little bit when you're a club like that, when you can't spend an awful lot. So you have to be very careful and hope that your players stay fit for the majority of the season, or you can get yourself in a position where you can't get out of.
Now, this is the 25th anniversary of the Premier League. Craig, you've seen this develop. It's hard to kind of quantify the impact that the Premier League has had on soccer in general, but particularly the game in England, isn't it? I mean, it's been a double-edged sword because it's brought a lot of money into the game, but it also seems as if in England in particular there's concern about a lack of English coaches, and of course sort of the constant concern about the national team, which that's going to be the case regardless of the country. But it really is remarkable what's happened in 25 years, just in terms of the money, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is remarkable. I was just reading something this morning about Alan Shearer being a world record fee in 1996 when he went from Blackburn to Newcastle for £15 million.
Yes.
Now you've got Neymar going to Paris for £200 million. It's insane where the money is going. I mean, let's face it, nobody in reality is worth that amount of money, but the Premier League has moved in the direction that I didn't think I'd ever see it. I mean, 1992, I was one of 13 foreigners that started the Premier League in the inaugural year. Now there's hundreds. Mm-hmm. you know, it's an international league, even though it's played in England. The ownership is primarily foreign. The coaches are foreign. Majority of the players are foreign as well. And whether that's a good thing or not, for some things, I guess it is. For quality of the league, it certainly is. For having a national team that can compete at the World Cup without having enough English players involved in the league itself, hurts your national team. So it's difficult to have the best competitive league in the world and have the best or a competitive national team. I'm not sure you can have both. And I think Germany is a classic example of that. A league that, not the strongest in the world, certainly competitive, entertaining, don't spend the money, don't have any foreign ownership, and the pyramid is that the national team is the top of it. And that's not the case in England at all. Absolutely not. The owners don't care about the English national team. They care about their own clubs and their own investments. And most of them are foreign. So why should they care? Why would they care?
You know, it's funny because I started really watching soccer after the Premier League was formed, and I went back and I, this year I did some reading. We had a couple of guests on talking about it and went back and did some reading on those founding days. And as someone who was there as a player, Craig, I mean, there was a lot of political tension around that move, wasn't there? Like, it was, I had no idea it was as complicated as it was.
Yeah, I mean, we saw for the most part when we won the division below to be promoted into the inaugural year of the Premier League, we didn't see it anything more than a name change. It was the first, second, third, fourth divisions in the professional systems in England, and now it was going to be the Premier League first, second, third division. Okay, big deal. But it grew into something much different than I don't think many people thought it would. I mean, the differences are certainly staggering in the money and the TV and the international appeal. And I think that is very, when you look at the entertainment value and the managers and the players and overall, maybe not the quality of the top teams of Europe or say La Liga, the very, very best teams, Real Madrid and Barcelona, other than that, but top to bottom, it is the most exciting league in the world. And it's exciting, and it doesn't seem to matter who comes. The style of play and that attacking brand of football always seems to win over, and it's really, really is good to see.